Blog Talk Radio.
Every day a star is born.
You better believe it.
Blog
Talk Radio.
B-M-E-O-E-M. Hey.
B-M-E-O-T-M. I watched Carla start it, seen Ronnie do it. Sweet T and Say too, they came too. Taking their debut in the recession, showing us how to make do. In the middle was heavy, but light on the edge. With Chauncey Gibson, the righteous get fed. Trey Love crying from his heart to the core. On the move with the mind of an entrepreneur. A better tomorrow, we play for sight. Maximize potential, reshape your life. Time ain't never wasted. They got flaws with guided meditation. Rise above it all at least. Navigating through this Middle East. It's like trying to rollerblade up a hill of grease. The radio media is a maverick tutor. With Grandma gripping Don Adams Jr.
Y'all know what it is, man.
E-O.
In the building.
Hey, welcome, family. Welcome to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And guess what? I am he, your host, welcoming you to another wonderful, beautiful Friday afternoon, depending on where you are, of course. From what I understand, it's going to be some terrible weather here in the Atlanta area real soon. So without any further ado, let's get this show on the road, family. We're talking about a hot-button topic today, and I know it affects most of us. Took a little research on this one, family. But with no further ado, let me go ahead and put something out there for you to set the tone. And when we get back, we're going to chop right into it. Welcome again to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Ooh.
The truth is you're going through hell, but you hide it so well. You tug on his sleeve, you beg and you plead, anything so that he won't leave. You would be like, oh well, oh well. And half of the time, you knew he was lying, said he was on his really grind. He's providing so well. And now he's out there running game on you. They're at the drop of a dime. And when he thinks you're at home with the kids on the couch, watching TV all the time. If you think so, don't leave now. I'm on my way. Wait until tonight. Girl,
never get enough.
It's all up.
Wait until tonight. Girl,
baby.
If you think you're lonely.
Yeah. for the lies that you could have been honest. And for your Sandra, she thought the wrong was something right there.
If you think she's
going down, well,
for every little dream you sold her, for the night you wanted home,
so hold her.
Y'all, it's here. It's finally here. The buzz is here. What is the buzz?
ELTM Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com is a monthly magazine on the web.
Continuing with ELTM's mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten. Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com will help bring entrepreneurs together, and connecting minds will increase networks to increase net worth.
Read ELTM Buzzwire magazine each month at eltmbuzzwire.com and stay enlightened and empowered.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Let me just go ahead and get it started with my normal acknowledgments to my EOTM family. Carla B., Ronnie, the First Lady, GPT, the Sassy Diva, Sweet T, Queen G, and the family. We have a new addition to the family, Ron and Rahan. Let me see if I have to say his name correctly. I don't want to butcher that. But Rahan and Mother. Oh, wow. Let me just pass it up. But we have a new addition to the family. 718-664-6543 is going to be the call-in number. For those of you that are going to want to chime in on today's hot-button topic, you can find us, as usual, at www.eotmradio.com or at www.queensofinternetradio.com. And, of course, my personal email, if you want to send me a BlackBerry letter, Don Adams Talk Show at EOTMradio.com. Yes, family, the blog room, the blog chat room is open for those of you who enjoy posting your comments in the blog room. The blog room is open. I have a great show lineup for you tonight. When is that X? Finally, the damn X. You know, that's a serious question, family, that's been plaguing a lot of us. And I said us because we've all been in that type of situation where you've broken up with somebody, but you're still making booty calls. Let's call it what it is. Before we get started and go too far down the road, I want to put this out there as a disclaimer, as usual. The thoughts and views of one host does not necessarily reflect those thoughts and views of everyone connected with EOTM. And I want everyone within the earshot of my voice to know that this show should be rated mature for mature audiences. So you may or may not want your kids to hear this show. And I just wanted to put that out there. And later on in the show, family, we're going to be talking about interracial dating as well. And also, I want to touch on how old is too old to date. In other words, how old should the person that you, how much older or younger than you should that person that you decide to date end up being? That's another serious hot button topic that we, you know, we've got going on in our community. all too often we find, you know, our women or our men, because nowadays it's just women now. I think the women call it Cougarville or something along those lines, being cougars, that get involved with younger men, you know, and from what I understand, so far they're liking it. If that rings a bell. Well, with that being said, family, I want to take us to another song break, and then we're going to come back, and hopefully we'll have we've got some callers that are supposed to be lined up to call in and pass some opinions on this subject. But when we come back, y'all know how much I love to give out statistics and read information to the family about the topics that we put out here at EOTM. I'm going to go ahead and get that started out and get that out first of all, because I've got some folks that are going to want to call in. We've got some pretty interesting things to say about the topic of when the X is really the X. I mean, wow. All right, family, stick with us. We'll crank it up in just a minute. All right?
Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Be on welfare, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Have a baby by me, baby, be on welfare. Be on welfare, be on welfare. Wanna take me to court? No money, no clue where I'm living. Better get food stamps real quick. Now listen, damn, I know you hate me. You know I'm a worthless ass nigga. Got you pregnant on purpose. I told you I'd get you. You know that I'm whack. You got a newborn baby. It ain't mine, my excuse. I use daily. Her DNA, it matched my DNA. So we be fussing. You saying I'm the worst dad? They catch it for me. Single parent. Now man, you got a job with benefits. Better start using it. 'Cause I'm broke, baby. I need you lonely, baby. I had your head spinning, saying slack so crazy.
BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Hey, welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. I want to put it out there again before we get too far into it, family. The blog room is open for all you happy bloggers that are out there. That being said, you know, today we're talking about when is the X finally the X? You know, and this, you know, and most of you all who listen to the shows know, well, actually everyone that listens to these shows knows that I like to keep it real. You know, but today I'm just going to take the gloves off early. Let me say this for housekeeping reasons. Today also, fam, for those of you who have businesses and want to shout out your business, feel free to give us a call here today, 718-664-6543. We're going to let you shout your business out there. And last Friday we had a gentleman that was on the show, man, he went to town with it. Actually, yeah, that's Friday. But he went to town with it last Friday, and I want to congratulate him with that, Mr. Higgins. Had a blast with you, man, if you listen. That being said, also, family, I want to put out there, too, don't forget about our child support cause, too. You know, our child support link, for those of you who don't agree with the current setup for child support, you can go to www.eotmradio.com, and midways down the page, there's a blue link. It says child support petition. And what we're doing with that is we're trying to see if we can get some legislators' attentions and make some changes to what's going on with child support. I mean, whether it affects you directly or not, you know, it's ravaging our community, family. And I know some of you probably feel like, well, I like it just the way it is. Well, it's because you're the one that's on the receiving end. You're not on the opposite end of that. But you know what? Thank God that you aren't, because for those of us that are, you know, we're catching hell, especially in today's economy. And it's just not right with some of the things that they're doing to some of the fathers and mothers out there that are being made to pay child support, even though they have nowhere to live and they have no food on their table. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't pay child support. I'm just simply saying that there should be provisions put in place to work with these parents a little bit better than what the system already is not doing. So with that being said, you know, want to make sure we put that out there. Let's keep it moving, family. With when is the X really an X? You know, it's interesting because I've gotten a lot of great, comments on this particular subject. You know, who hasn't been in a situation where you have, you know, you've met someone or you've been in a relationship. The relationship has ended, and you're trying to move on, but at the same time, you're keeping ties with your ex. Now, I'm not talking about those people out there who necessarily actually I am, because you know what? The folks that have kids have a connection with that ex. You know, y'all the ones that are, I think, probably the biggest culprit of it. And I know you're listening. I talked to a young lady today about the show, and she mentioned that she might call in, and I appreciate her candor and honesty. But she's a parent, as a man out there, you know, that's dealing with, so to speak, decided that, you know, hey, it's better to give him a little bit of something at the end of the day to keep the peace, if you want to call it that. Wow. You know, regardless of whether or not she's moving on or not. And I take my hat off to her for her being so honest and upfront about it. But, family, the question of the day is, when does your ex truly become your ex? You know, when is enough enough? I mean, is it right for you to maintain a friendship? Now, outside of those that don't have children with their exes, is it right for you to maintain a friendship or a close communication with an ex when you're trying to move on with the new person, whether it's a male or a female? Now, being on the male end of it, I can certainly tell you that there are plenty of women that I have dated or tried to date or know that absolutely won't go for that, okay? Let me just put that out there again. They won't go for that. But with the shoe being on the other foot, I've come across plenty of women who feel as though, oh, he's just my friend, he's just my ex, or he lives in some other state, you know, so forth and so on. But then as soon as you break up with them or something goes airy with your relationship, where they at? You follow where I'm going? So, I mean, it kind of almost puts the icing on the cake for the party that's on the receiving end of that to say, you know what, I knew something was going on other than just a friendship. So, you know, where we at with that, family? I mean, honestly, you know, I know y'all listening, and I know, you know, some people are probably cracking up and laughing, and it's all good, but don't be afraid, don't hold your tongue. Let me put something out there for you. Now that you and your ex-boyfriend have been apart for a while, you're hurting so much that all you want is to have him back to you. Of course, this is what you want. It's really upsetting to be without the person you love more than anything else in the world. You want your ex-boyfriend to come back to you as soon as possible. That's a message that I got from a freelance. You know, and she didn't really address the issue of when your ex-boyfriend is your ex and she's moving on. She just simply said she's missing her boyfriend, which, honey, I'm not even going to put your initials out there, but I applaud you for that. But, you know, the topic of today is when your ex is gone, you know, when is enough enough? You know, when are you going to stop messing with, dealing with, communicating with, or having relations with your ex? And that's the question, family. Because let's be honest, if you've been on the receiving end of that, my question for all of you is this. How would you like to be at a family function, okay? And how would you like to be at a family function? And at the end of the day, you're, you know, the new guy or the new person in the relationship, and here comes the ex knocking at the door, and he wants to, and, you know, and family's like, hey, how you doing, X, Y, and Z, you know, and this guy's in there, and now you all of a sudden you're the new guy or the new girl, and you're sitting there while the new the ex is being entertained head up with you. I mean, we've all been there, and that's certainly an awkward feeling to be in a position to be in. You know, and me for one, I personally don't agree with it. I think that when it's over with, it's over with. You know, unless there's kids involved, and even if there are kids involved, you know, I don't think that that should be a calling card for you to have social hour with your ex, because that's certainly how things end up happening. You know, and I pride myself personally on not being a jealous type man. But, you know, some folks may say, oh, well, you know, hey, you know, and I've even met women I've even come across females who have told me up front candidly that my ex is my best friend. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to leave him alone. So what is that? I mean, what is that? You know, at the end of the day, family. So with that being said, I'm waiting on some calls to come in and give us a shout out and give us some professional, or I shouldn't say professional, I won't use that word, to give us some counseling aspects on those particular questions. So Tracy, I know you're out there. We're going to chime it up, take another break, family. We're waiting on our caller to get in so she can give us some input on some of what we're talking about, all right? So stick with us, family. We'll be right back.
Can't stay away from you too long. Even if I do, I'll always call. Checking on you, make sure you're okay. Be the one to brighten up your day. Yeah, yeah. And the point of it all, I love. My days seem long whenever we're apart. It's like someone has stolen away my heart. You're a major part of my life. And no matter what the storm may bring, I'm fine with you. And the point of it all, I love you. And the reason for it all, I love you. Oh, I love.
Urban Literary Review, where literature and urban meet. Hosted weekly by Tia from DC Bookman and Martin from Culture First. Urban Literary Review comes on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Urban Literary Review. Urban Literary Review comes on twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Our mission is to shine a positive light on the urban literary industry by promoting literature and discussing issues that are pertinent to the growth of the industry. In addition to being an online radio show, Urban Literary Review also provides authors with promotion to over 15,000 African-American readers for only $99 per month. So don't forget to listen and tune in each week, every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/Urban Literary Review. Or check us out for more information at www.myspace.com/Urban Literary Review.
Hey, welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Show. We're talking about when the X is really the X, when is enough enough, when you're going to stop giving it up. That goes for you as well as her. I said you as well as her. That's right. We're talking about the men and the women, especially in a place like Atlanta, where, you know, the ratio, you know, is supposedly so lopsided. But I'm going to be honest with you, family. I keep running into folks who feel like it's not. I mean, I'm talking about females. I mean, maybe they're getting all the attention or something. I don't know what, but I just don't think the ratio is as lopsided as they say it is. I think it's a little bit closer by the numbers as far as the ratio of men to women in Atlanta. Females still have it, but, you know, at the end of the day. But when is the X, you know, finally the X? When is enough enough? Well, you know, when are you going to stop giving it up? You know, is it right for you to continue to give it up even after you all have broken up? Here's some interesting points on that particular topic that I was able to locate. So take that as a hint that you need to put your own needs first by leaving your ex alone. Rejection is never easy, and begging for a second chance is hateful and disgraceful to your own soul. Here are some reasons why you need to leave your partner or your ex-partner alone. Number one is you don't have the right to violate someone else's will. In other words, if you manipulate, there will be consequences. So obviously they left you alone for a reason. So, you know, at the end of the day, stop, you know, stop dealing with them, because it's a form of, I guess what they're trying to identify that as a form of manipulation, which I can see that happening, especially if the sex is good. It's number two, it's clear that your relationship is broken. Accept truth, refuse, and refuse to live in denial. You know, and I think the sentiment on that, family, is that if it was all there, you know, you'd still be together. You know, once it's over, you know, have the strength, the courage to move on. Number three, your relationship was probably not all that you were thinking it was. If you really pull back, you'll see that more than likely you weren't happy either. You know, that's funny because, you know, a lot of times when we remove ourselves from situations, i.e. relationships, you know, we tend to take a review of the process that it took for us to get to that point where we're no longer involved with that person. And ironically, family, I really believe that that is when and where most of the things that you will recognize that went wrong in that relationship will come to your attention. You know, step back, take a look at it, see what's going on with it. You know, is that if that person wasn't worthy of getting the cookies, the goods, while you were involved with them, then why are they so worthy after the fact? Number five, you did not have true love. If it was, it would have lasted. I don't know. I mean, I believe love can be broken just like it can be made. You know, for whatever reasons it happens, I think people fall in and they fall out of love. I think that, you know, there's always that something there that's capable of pushing you either over or under the edge to create that separation. Number six, your partner was most likely was not the right person for you. To begin with, no matter how long you were together. Seven, chasing your ex is a dysfunctional behavior. Now, I believe that cold-heartedly. I think it's very dysfunctional for you to end the relationship with someone and to continue to be physically involved with them. You know, and especially in the African-American community, you know, we do so much masking. And that's right, I said masking. Masking meaning a lot of times we look at situations and we tend to think that we can fix those situations and repair those situations when they simply were not made or they're simply not designed for us to fix at that point in time. You know, and that's just a fact, family. You know, masking, you know, if you know, whatever the issues were on the surface, they didn't go anywhere. They just, or I'm sorry, underneath, they didn't go anywhere. They just came out. And I think it's dysfunctional for anyone to be that far gone in denial. I mean, and obviously, that far gone in denial and to feel like it's okay for you to, you know, to deal with your ex, especially when you're trying to move on. Because keep something in mind, you know, if you've never been on the receiving end of that, been trying to get to know someone, and every time you turn around, that ex is right there, or they've got to go over there and they've got to do this, and there's no children involved, or even in some cases where there are children involved, that's a hurtful thing. And to me, I think that's just as wrong. It's just straight up getting couchy, you know, for you to drag somebody through that, because that's like 10 slaps in the face. Number eight, he already knows you want him back and doesn't care. Number nine, can you take responsibility for living a great life? And number 10, you are better than that. You deserve more. You know, I think the thing with number 10 is that, you know, the message they're trying to convey is that you're doing yourself a disservice, because really and truly you living what's called, a friend of mine gave me this term, it's called a half-life, where you're kind of halfway committed to the new person, but you're also sort of, and you know, unrealistically committed to the old person. And it kind of splits you in between. You know, we did a show a few months ago about soul ties. Look it up, family, soul ties, you know, have to do with the folks that you've had intimate encounters with, you know, and I think that the biggest issue with that is that when you spread yourself thin and you are dealing with more than one person, you are connecting with them spiritually and developing soul ties with those people. And, you know, the soul and the spirit is not as empty a vessel as a lot of us would think that it is. You know, I believe and have been taught that, you know, hey, at some point we need to, it's almost like a cup running over. We need to relieve some of that. that's going on, and having sexual encounters with people adds to that soul ties dilemma, which is one of the reasons why I think it's very difficult for some of us to leave our exes alone. We have a tendency to not want to sever that tie. But it's not right, family. Either way you cut it. Where's my caller at? I'm waiting on her to get in here so we can chop this thing up. But anyway, family, the call-in number for tonight is 718-664-6543. I'm going to say it again, 718-664-6543. And also, today is Friday. You can call in and shout your business out, of course. And also for advertisement on the Don Adams Jr. Show with all those major agencies that are out there, of course, that want sponsorship and that want to give up sponsorship and pack and so forth and so on, you can reach us at www.eotmradio.com. We'd love to have you on board. So with that being said, family, we're going to take another song break here and come back and see if I can connect with my caller, and we're going to chop it up. Be right back, family. Okay, welcome back, family, to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Yeah, we have our caller on with us. We're going to bring her on. Tracy, are you with us?
I'm here. How you doing, Don?
All right. I'm good. Thanks for taking some time out. You know, I started out, Tracy, and I was talking about relationships. Some of the things I put out there to the family was that, you know, I guess in my opinion, you know, being in this, you know, I'm just this one and only black man over here, that it's wrong to have all those additional relationships when you, or actually I think it's wrong to kind of reach forward for someone else when you still have ties to someone else. And I kind of use the analogy of, you know, I don't even know if I want to put it like that, but I mentioned those that have children, even using the children as an excuse to maintain that personal level of relationship with that ex on that level. And I'm talking where you actually have booty calls and things of that nature. There's a physical connection going on here.
Yeah.
You know, and I mentioned some of what we talked about earlier, because I know, you know, I touched with you on some of this. And for those of you out there, well, I'll let you just put your own information out there. But I want to say this. Tracy is not a relationships expert. And I'll let her give you whatever information she wants to give you about her personal background. But she's not a relationship expert, but she is well-versed in some things. So I'll say that, and I'll say this, Tracy, before you start out. You know, I mentioned that half-life thing we talked about. I was going to use that. But I put it out there, you know, because, I mean, yeah. I thought that was just too interesting. That half-life theory that you put out there. But go ahead and give us some thoughts on that, when the ex is really the ex, when you should leave that alone. Talk to us about that, Tracy.
Well, I think the ex is really the ex when you know that's no longer healthy for you. I mean, there's, like you said, there's two levels to it. There's an emotional side, and then, you know, there's a physical urge. I mean, if you think about it, when a person is married for a long time, let's say they've been married 20 years or so, you know, their body is kind of used to getting it on the regular. Let's just put it out there and be honest. I mean, and, you know, they're used to, you know, the person knows what they like, they're comfortable, you know, they know all of the freaky levels that they want to take it on. And, you know, even though y'all are fighting and beefing, what that got to do with getting you know what I'm saying? Oh. So, I mean, you got that physical level that you're going to, you know, like we spoke of earlier, there is a half-life. So say, you know, you've been together 20 years, you've probably been divorcing, probably, you know, even though you haven't legally been divorcing, you've probably been on the rocks for about at least five of those years. The last five are probably pretty miserable. And so, you know, even after you've decided you want to leave, and let's say you do leave, let's say you go ahead and get that divorce, you might still want to tap it every now and then. I mean, let's just put it out there.
Wow.
You know, because your body is still used to that level of comfort with that person, that level of intimacy, and they may know you on that level. Now, you know, you may not like them, you may not love them, but you might like what they're doing for you.
Wow. So, but I mean, doesn't that kind of border along the lines of, I mean, selfishness and just kind of like using them?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because at the end of the day, you know, you're not in a relationship anymore.
Right.
I mean, your relationship has ended. And, you know, and I'm also talking about not just on along the lines of a marriage, but I'm talking about along the lines of your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever you guys are.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're trying to date other people, but yet still you're making booty calls with the ex. What is
right.
that all about?
Well,
you follow where I'm going?
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's incredibly selfish, and you know what? Everybody's been there. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like I've never been there before. I've been on the receiving. I've also been on the giving side, and, you know, when you get to that level, sometimes you just don't give it in. You know, you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to call this man over and over again. I no longer feel this way. If he want to, you know, he want to give it to me, I'm going to get it. You know, and it's selfish, you know, because, of course, that person is more invested in this than you. Usually in a relationship, one person is always more invested than the other. That's just, even in a functioning good relationship, there's always somebody who you just hope like hell it ain't you. that's pressed, you know.
Wow. So somebody gets chosen and somebody gets picked, right?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But I mean, you know, let's just say this, okay? And I like that theory that you put out there when we were talking earlier about the half life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk to us about that half life. I mean, let's
well,
go into that.
I kind of came up with that just mm-hmm. because I, you know, in my circumstance, you know, I was married and I'm separating now. I'm in the process of getting divorced, and you know, there's
so you have so basically you got those urges going on, right?
Well, no, not anymore. But you know, there was a point where you know I had said it was over, but you know, we still were crossing that line, and you know, I think it took, you know, it took about maybe we were together about 9 years. It took about 6 months for me to realize, you know, okay, this isn't worth it anymore. You know, you go back, you try it a little bit, you try to reconcile. It's not working. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to hit on that level, just solely physical, and that's not working. So, you know, after a while, you do recognize, okay, the half-life, you know, it is what it is. Every relationship, you're going to go through that, but, you know, you move out of it and recognize this person just isn't for me. I just don't even really like them that much as a person, you know, and it kind of, you know, it turns you off in that way, you know, sexually, because you can't get, you know, mentally stimulated, really.
Wow. So you can't get stimulated? I got some stimulation for you. You know what? I'm gonna do like Mike Bays and I'm doing. You know what?
I bet you do. I bet you do.
Yeah, they put that punch on you and it beat you down like you want it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
But you know what though, that's interesting, you know, that you say that, you know, because I mean that half life theory, you know, it's kind of like, and the way I put it out there to the family earlier was that I was saying that, you know what, it kind of puts you in a mindset where, you know, you're reaching out for the new person, but you're still kind of dangling on with the other one. And I think that especially with women, and I'm not being,
oh,
you know,
I know what you
not,
mean. Well, yeah, usually what we do, we line up something. You know, you got to, well, maybe it's just me. I don't know, maybe. But, you know, I think women in general, they try to line something up before they move on. You know, it's kind of like leaving a job. You know, you don't leave your job knowing you got bills to pay, right? So what you do is you go out on interviews. You go out on dates. You see what's out there. You see what's out there. And then, you know, when you get ready to offering you a position and it's something legitimate, you make your move. Okay, it's time to move on, you know. Peace. I got my 2 weeks in. It's time to be out. And so, you know, a lot of women never really take that time, you know, to take that time for themselves between the last thing. They're trying to shore up the next thing because, you know, you have to think about it, like I said, about that emotional, physical connection. You're used to that, so you really want to replace that feeling quickly, and that's where the rebounding comes in. You know, sometimes you meet somebody and they might be clicking and you're thinking, oh, this is my knight in shining armor, this is going to be the next big thing. But then you find out later, really, it's just you, you know, feeling those wants from the last thing and placing it on the next guy and then actually hurting his feelings because it's a selfish move, really.
Ooh. So it's kind of like the rooster crowing in the morning. And it's the day out.
Yeah. Oh, I know you had sound effects. What?
Oh, yeah, we got sound effects. But, you know, that's very interesting that you said that, though, Tracy, because, I mean, and you know what, we're not going to put it off on just the women. I mean, because there are men out there who do the exact same thing. And, fellas, I'm just going to go against the code. I'm just going to put it out there. You know, a lot of brothers tend to want to stock up their stable, so to speak. You know, they'll have one here, one there, one there, you know, in case something falls through. And they'll have, like, friendships here, friendships there. Now, they may not be sleeping with all these people, but they'll have, you know, some kind of little connection and, you know, some kind of little flirty going on to where, you know what, if something does fall through and my main girl, you know, shuts down on me, I know I can go over here and get a supply of booty right over here. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, and I'm like you, Tracy, I've been on the receiving and the giving end. And at the end of the day, I'll say it and I'm going to say it up front. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's not right. You know, to do that. I think that's very selfish, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. I think that's extremely selfish.
Yeah.
Let me ask. Yeah. I mean. And you know, it's just wow. You know, what you had something you want to chime in with, Tracy?
Well, I think when you were talking about how men do it, how I look at it is this, and I guess I had some time to study how y'all operate, but men will really keep you on wait status. You know, there's something that is interested in you. you're laughing because it's true, but, you know, basically a man.
You're going to make me shoot you.
Well, a man will hold on now. A man, if there's some qualities in you that he likes, but you don't have all the qualities, let's say he's looking for three qualities, and you might be hitting on one quality, another sister may be hitting on another quality, and then the third hitting on another quality. He gonna keep all of y'all and list y'all as friends, okay? And you'll be in wait status until he finds the next thing smoking.
Who told you that?
Well, I mean, I hate to give away the handbook, but, you know, I think that's how it works.
You know what? There's going to be some folks angry with you on that one.
Well, I mean, I think
but
that's
you know,
how
y'all but wait a minute, all right? And I'm going to stay on point with you on this. Now, wait a minute. But what about the women? All right?
Well,
since
you know,
hopping on my, but wait a minute, hold on. Since you're hopping on the fellas, I'm going to harp on the ladies a little bit.
Okay.
Now, is it not true, and now you've already admitted that women have a tendency to kind of want to, you know, line something up prior to actually getting out of the relationship. Okay, that's cool. I got that piece. But how about this? Don't women sometimes call them friends or exes that they have a connection with or a history with, and they keep them in the shadows completely? Just in case, same thing you just talked about with the men, but just in case something happens with the man that's on deck right now.
You know we do.
Don't,
you know we do.
Okay, I mean, so when we make that point that you just made, which I'm going to be up front, and I'm going to say, you know what, that was totally valid. What you just said was extremely, totally valid, that men do that. But women do it too. But, you know, here's the conflict. And I say it every time I have a show, and I'm going to say it again. Fellas, if you think that you can outgame a woman, you a damn fool.
I'm
going to say it one more time. You a damn fool. I don't care if it's with your ex. I don't care if it's with your future. I don't care what it is. Women are better at running game than we are. They always have been, and they always will be. Nations have gone to war over what is between those women's legs. So, family, understand me clearly. That's my position. But, see, my thing is this, is that, you know, we're all running game. Let's just put it like it is. Everybody running game, but y'all are better at it than we are. What you think, Tracy?
Well, I think like this. Women always choose the men, and men never, if you're a smart woman, men never, ever choose the woman. I say that because women are the receivers of the seed, basically. You guys put it out, but we're the place where it's the fertile ground to plant it. And we're, you know, we choose if it's time for planting, if it's the harvest season, if it's time to, you know, cultivate, if it's time to grow, okay. And so, you know, it can't be where a man chooses a woman, you know, because that's more like, you know, just laying down and taking it, you know. No one wants that. So,
oh, no, that's not, no, we can't.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Right. So when you say about game, we always know where your game is, really. A smart woman already knows who they're dealing with within, like, the next, you know, maybe 30 minutes of talking with the dude. They can kind of assess, okay, what kind of dude is this? Is this a potential date? Is this a hit? How is that going to work? You know,
they're already
up front.
But see, you know what, Tracy? I don't mean to interrupt you, but you know, you just said something that was critical to me, because I've always been told by women that women always know when they meet a man if they planning on giving him some. I mean, from the time you knock at the door, here's an example. All right, here we go. I knock at the door, okay?
Uh-huh.
You listening? I knock at the door, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I come in and I say, "Hello, how are you?" We meet, we greet, we talk, and within 5 to 10 minutes of that conversation, I've always been told that women know when they look at a man, they will know and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to be with this man. What is that all about?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. They know instantly if they're physically attracted to this person or if they're somebody that they got to, you know, not so much. Maybe I can see some other qualities in him versus, you know what, he ain't never touching this. I already know. Ain't nothing he can say to get me here. They already know.
Wow. So, okay. But now, I know we're all over the place with the family, but I had to get that piece in there. But now let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question, and here's a question, okay? Is it right, in your opinion, to do booty calls with the ex, regardless of whether you're single or not? Is it right for you to do booty calls?
No, I think that if it's over and you've told them it's over and your mind is really where it is, that it's over, I really don't think you should do that. That's going against who you are, and it ultimately is hurting them and putting you in a real bad situation if they go blowing up on you because, you know, they were misled. You don't want that. That's
why
it gets so ugly.
All right. How about this one? You're at a family function, and all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door, and it's the ex. Is that right?
Well, oh man, so they good? They're already good with your family. They got connections with the family and all that.
Yeah, the ex is. I mean, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, all right. And you sitting down at the table with your new man, and there's a knock at the door, right? And it's the ex. He's coming in because he wants to say hello to everybody. X, Y, and Z. Is that right?
No. That's inappropriate. No, we've moved on, and you know. You just need to go. Yeah, he got to go.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. What do you think about this one? Is it right to maintain a friendship with your ex? And when you say that, and when you answer, I actually answer that first, and then I'm going to ask you for a definition. So is it right to maintain a friendship with your ex?
Do you have children?
See, you know, and let's just say it like this. For this show purposes, yeah, if you have children with someone, it's best that you all maintain some type of cordial relationship. But let's just take children out the mix. Let's just say it's a straight-up ex. You ain't got no kids with this person. Is it right to maintain a level of friendship with that person?
I don't think you'll ever have a true version of friendship with them because you've already been intimate with them, because you've already known them
and
on
that's
that
my
level.
Point.
You can
that's
never
my
really
point.
You can only move forward. You can't move back. You can't
that's my point.
That back.
That's my point. Is once you done got involved with someone and you done had that old hair curling and smacking, come here, girl, get you and just come here. You know, once you done got there with that person,
right?
I personally feel like, you know what, it's impossible for you to go back and say, okay, we just friends. Because how can you look at that person the same? How can you look at them and say, I mean, how can you? And so, therefore, my point being is this, is that when you have an ex, when does the ex truly become the ex? Now, define that when the ex becomes an ex. That's the definition that I'm looking for. My ex, in most of my cases, my ex, is over with. The only reason why I deal with my ex, this is me talking, is because there's children involved. If on that level, if the kids can't speak for themselves, or there's some type of a business or professional relationship that is established that needs to be functional. There has to be a defined reason, in my opinion, for you to maintain some level of communication on a friendship level, in particular, with an ex. What do you think?
I think that's true. I mean, what is it that y'all really need to be talking about if it's not about the kids or if y'all don't have any kids? I mean, you know, we're going to talk about the weather. We're going to talk about the Braves. I mean, I don't get it. Like, what what is it that I need from you? Obviously, I'm not into you. I'm not trying to sleep with you. I'm not with you anymore romantically. I mean, so there was something about you that I didn't want to continue forward in my future. So I really don't see how we can really be friends, you know? I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm sure somebody will call in and say differently. I just don't see it because I feel like men really, once they've, you know, kind of been with you and have loved you and lost you, you're always there. It's like you're always a bit of a property to them, you know? They're always going to feel some kind of something, you know, for you. So to have a true, I really don't even think you can have true platonic relationships with men anyway, because, like I said, somebody always wants something. you know, either the woman wants it and the man is, you know, putting them on wait status, or the man wants it and she's telling him you in the friend zone. So either way, it's always, you know, when you're dealing with the sexes, there is no such thing as a platonic relationship anyway. Because it's always,
wow.
I mean, you get a person drunk enough, you're going to hear all kind of.
You know you get drunk enough?
Man, you don't even got to get drunk enough. All they got to do is say the right thing and bam, you know, that door is open. I know, especially with all the, you know, guy friends, especially. They just, if you hot, they, you know, all you got to do is look at them funny and they there, you know.
So basically, if you find as hell, he just give him a look like, come on, get it, boy. You're going to get it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just because y'all friends doesn't mean the man is dead down there. You know what I mean? He's still alive.
Wow.
Man.
Wow.
So he's still going to, you know.
Wow. So, you know what? And before we take a break, I put something out there earlier about how when people are in a relationship, and especially, and like I said, I'm a man and you're a woman, so I can only look at it and be honest about it from a man's perspective. When you have a girl, a female, and y'all are in a relationship, and she has friends, whether they're 8 states over, 2 states over, whatever, and as soon as something happens between the two of you, she's right back over there.
Oh, yeah.
Does that not co-sign on what you were thinking?
Yeah, that's basically the break glass guy. In case of emergency, we pull him out of the friend zone, and we use him for a minute until we can get the right guy.
Basically, that's some spare nookie in the trunk.
Yeah, basically. That's a spare tire right there.
That's a spare tire right there. Can
yeah, that's a spare tire. You know, y'all friends, it's been platonic. Y'all never hit it, but it's always been flirty.
No, I'm talking about somebody who you've been involved with, a history.
Even then, especially. Oh, yeah.
I know the ladies that were at Applebee's with me today are listening to the show because I gave you some information. But I want to say this to y'all. I know y'all listening, and I know y'all probably laughing, and I gave y'all information. But you know what? The young lady that was sitting next to me at Applebee's today when I was talking about this show, you know, I was talking with another gentleman about, you know, leaving the ex alone and not getting involved. And you know what that lady said to me? And I want you to call in, too. You don't have to give your name, but I want you to call in. But she said straight up, if one of my exes comes to town, oh, yes, sir, I'm giving him some. Not the new ex, because we still angry with each other. But if I have an ex that comes to town, I'm giving him some. She said straight up, we hooking up. And if I'm single, he's single, we getting it.
Oh, yeah.
we are getting it. You follow me? That call-in number is 718-664-6543. All right? Give us a shout. Tracy, hold on a second. We're going to take a fast break. And
okay.
Then we're going to come back, and we're going to chop it up some more. But I got something for you, family. This is my favorite when it comes to this topic right here.
Oh,
The sweet soothing sounds of Marvin Gaye. Let's get it on. That's what we're trying to do, family. Get it on. Yes, sir. We're talking about when the X is finally the X. And we have Tracy, who's in the Atlanta area, decided to give us a call and chime in on the subject a little bit with us. And I want to illustrate to you again, family, that she is not a relationships expert. She is, I'm sure you can tell, she is an educated woman in the field in somewhat way, shape, form, or fashion. But we'll leave it at that. But with that being said, Tracy, we talked about, you know, is it right or is it wrong for you to have relationships with the ex? And my thing, again, I'm going to put it out there, is that I just don't understand how it is that you can reach forward for another, but yet still you have ties to the other. And, you know, and I think I gave a great example of how some people have tendencies to call them friends and put them on the shelf, which I love the way you illustrated that, Tracy, when you mentioned that. You know, women just want to put them on the shelf, sort of like the just-in-case dude. I mean, you know, and it's funny because, you know what, a lot of men think that they're the only ones that have the market corner on that. But I'm going to say this again on this show, and I'm going to say it emphatically. If you are a man, and if you think that your woman does not understand, know, sniff, smell, or suspect that you running game because she ain't saying nothing to you, homie, slick dude, whatever you want to be called, go get your head examined because it's not happening. These women are way above, leagues out in front of us when it comes to running game. And I said it, and I'm going to say it again on any opportunity that I get on any show that I'm on. Women run game better than we do all day long. They call it the sixth sense, but I call it just some freaky shit. Women run the game, okay? Bottom line. So with that being said, you know, you can't fool them. My philosophy is to be straight up with them, beat them with the truth, and just call it what it is. Because my thing is, if I'm going to be dealing with you, and you, I'm like Mike Basin. Why can't I just get y'all all on a three-way and say, hey, look, I'm still poking this one. I'm still tapping this one. Can we all get together and just, like, make this shit a family? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, let's, I agree. I'm just real because, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's wrong. You know, it's wrong, you know, to reach out. You got one over here and then you got an ex over here. You know what I'm saying? The ex, to me, should never be in the picture. Your ex, right. Once it's done, the ex is done. I mean, even in a situation where there's kids involved, guess what? Hey, deal with the kids aspect of it. Deal with it correctly. But cut that other funny business out. I just think that's wrong.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's foul. And I think that you're not being honest with and upfront with the person that you're trying to get with, and you're not being honest with the ex, although they may know what time it is and be okay with that because they probably, there's part of them that still loves you, and you just, you know, hey, I don't really care if you love me or not. I'm just trying to hit it. And, you know, mm-hmm. So that's kind of hurtful to them, and it's hurtful to the new person because you think they're thinking that they're getting their all in all from you, and you know, there's no way for you mm-hmm. to do that when you haven't.
There's no way for you to do that. Exactly. Exactly. You know what? And I'm going to tell you this, Tracy. I have found, and I'm going to put it out there for you, family. I have found myself personally that in most cases, guys, and I say beat women with the truth. I don't mean beat them over the head with it. I don't mean this. I mean, when I say beat them with the truth, I mean, you know what? Don't play games. Don't think that you're going to outsmart them. I mean, beat them with the truth, meaning, listen, bruh, come straight at them. I have found in most situations that I've heard about, talked about, and even been in myself, that when you step up and say, listen, baby, I love you, and I'm really into you, but you know what? I still want to, you know, do this with her too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, X, Y, and Z. And you let them know, fellas, you might be surprised. You might find out, well, bring her on into the home. You follow what I'm saying? they may just tell you to just bring her on into the house. You know, hey, let's just all do the grown up together. But you know, at the end of the day, my point being is the ex should not even be in the picture. So, you know, it is what it is, though.
I agree.
Now, you know what? You know what, Tracy? I have another subtopic that we want to talk about too on the show: interracial dating. Okay. Now, we don't have to put any specific details out there, but what are your thoughts on interracial dating?
You know, I think that who are we to judge where to get love and what source to get it? I mean, I think about the gay situation. I think about the interracial or whatever situation where there are two folks from two different walks of life coming together. And, you know, I think that life is short, you know, and you really need to just be in it to make yourself happy and find someone that makes you happy. And, you know, who are we to say, you know, this person can't date that person. Now, what I will say, my disclaimer is that there seems to be some folks who have a preference over, you know, so let's say with the brothers or with the sisters or whomever, that they only date exclusively, you know, whites, or they only date exclusively, you know, I've heard black guys talk about just strictly Asian chicks, you know, and they talk, you know, it's based on stereotypes, their preference. That to me I think is foul. But I mean, if you meet somebody and you love them, who am I to say? I mean, I'm not in your bedroom and I'm not laying with you every night. He laying with you. So what I would say, though, is that it's very difficult to bridge that gap with somebody who is not from the same culture as you. So you need to go into that knowing that. You know, don't go in thinking that it's going to be, you know, just all love and hunky-dory. No, at the end of the day, they need to know how you were raised, and you need to know how they were raised. And
I don't mean to cut you off, Tracy, but you know what? I think everybody needs to know how everybody's raised, regardless of what race they are.
I don't care
if you're homosexual. I don't care if you're heterosexual. I don't care if you're white, black, green, purple. I don't care what you are. If you're trying to get with somebody, you need to know how that person's raised. That's
right.
Just a level of conversation and a point in the relationship that it needs to be at. We got some family in the blog room. Jam Time, I hope I'm saying that right. He threw a comment at us, Tracy. He says that for women, it's also getting one up on another woman. It's an ego, for men, it's an ego thing. You know, my personal thought on that is I think it's an ego thing for women too, because if it's about you getting up one up on another woman, that's an ego thing. That's an ego trip. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so let's just keep it real. I think it's ego for everybody. I mean, but men, when you attack a man's ego, let me tell you something. It's like what's that boy's name? Tank. Us men can't take another man pleasing our woman. Let me tell you something. Let me just put it out there. When it comes to another man pleasing your woman as a man, that is the ultimate, down to the core, disrespect. Because that man then came up into your personal stuff, and he done played with it, he done dealing with it, he done did everything he wanted to do with it, and it's rough on you. So it's an ego thing on all sides of the fence. I don't think the woman's ego, I think a woman's ego is much larger than a man's ego by volumes. But
see,
I think that also...
You just said what I was saying earlier about the property. Every man always thinks that they got the property on you. So
it's
always going to be yours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter if y'all not together for 10 years. If he see you with somebody else and he doing it and he doing it well, it's a problem. It's a problem.
Well,
y'all ego can't take that.
Well, see, you know what? Jam Town just came in and said, not really. It's more about fighting off the competition, kicking the other woman, you know, out of the nest, so to speak. You know, I agree with that, but I still think that at the core, it's a ego issue, because I mean, you know, it's almost like you're competing against the other woman or the other man, unbeknownst to them, you're competing because you don't want to lose your man to somebody else, you don't want to lose your woman to somebody else. Of course, you don't. We all compete, but we do it in different ways, different forms, different fashions. You follow what I'm saying? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, I was gonna say you can't never make somebody stay with you anyway. I mean, if they're going to cheat and that's in their spirit to go and look and pursue and be with somebody else and while they're with you, that's a them thing. That's a core fundamental character flaw thing. That has nothing to do with you. I mean, you could be holding it down. You could, you know, have your stuff right. The sun could be, it could be booming for you. But if that's who he is, if he's always on a conquest, if it's about the hunt for him, then it don't matter what you do. So really you just have to think about what pleases you, what makes you feel good, and worry about you and not worry about him. Because if you're doing everything right with you, then he going to want to lay up under you every night. You ain't got to worry about where he at.
Tracy, you sound like you know what, Tracy, I'm going to be like, you sound like you just tan shit down in the bedroom. Like your man just come here, girl. You just sound like you just off the chain with it.
You
know,
I don't brag.
Well, I mean, because you're talking about, you're talking about just, hey, look here, I'm just going to do everything right, boy. You ain't going nowhere. Come here, boy. I mean, woo. Like you just a patriarch.
I'm just saying, if you're hitting the three levels that he's looking for, you know, whatever it is in his mind, the concept that, that's going to make him stay, he's going to be happy. And he's going to, you know, he'll tell you, he'll call you every day, babe, I'm letting you know I'm getting ready to go to church. Okay, babe, I'm letting you know I'm getting ready to go to work. Okay, babe, I'm calling you from my, from lunch, and I want to know.
Wait a minute. Don't you think that that's strange and extreme for a man, a grown-ass man, to be calling you every time you get out in and out the car?
But you know what? If he's in love with you and his nose is wide open, you do that for a time period. It's not about that you want that. It's just that it's that good that he just want to be up on, oh, that's my baby right there. You know, he walking around telling everybody about how great his baby is, you know? That's
mm-hmm.
He's just happy. He wants to be up underneath.
Wow. Jamton says that he doesn't think so. He or she doesn't think so because women are emotionally driven. And then he comes back and says that men are driven by egos, and we're going to use the educated word, the lower extremity. And, you know, I'm going to agree with some of that. I'm going to agree with some of that. But I think that in agreeing with some of that, I think that it has to be put into context of what I'm not saying that it's not in the proper context of what we're saying, but how do I want to say this? I think that you're correct, but I think that it goes with certain portions of what we are talking about. In other words, I mean, that's a good formula, but not for everybody, because I think everybody's
right.
driven by different things. But
right.
you know what? I want to still touch on that interracial thing we talked about,
okay.
Tracy, because you know what? I'm going to say it like this. You know, at the top of the show, I mentioned the numbers as far as women, and especially in the Atlanta area in particular. But I want to say this. I think that there are, by numbers, far more women on this earth than there are men in any city that you go to. I don't care if it's Atlanta. I don't care if it's D.C. I don't care where it is. And with that being said, you know, I personally believe like this. You know, I'm not going to say that black men are failing. But what I am going to say is I think that I appreciate that, Jam Town. I see you saying you're going to buy that. I appreciate that. I love it when we agree to disagree. I see you in the blog room, baby. But here's where I'm going with the interracial dating, family. I look at it like this. I don't see a damn thing wrong with black women dating white men. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you know what? The pool is drying up when it comes to black men. Now, I'm not saying that it's our fault. I'm not saying that it's society's fault. I'm not saying that it's, you know, I'm not saying that it's anyone's fault in particular. But what I am saying is that there are often there's just not enough of a selection out there for our sisters. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we see so much going on within our race as a whole. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think that if a sister can go ahead and find a white man or a purple man who is going to treat her right, who is going to fill in and be the man or whatever it is that she needs and is willing to carry the burden and go forward with her, why not?
I agree. I think that for the longest time, we've been holding to our culture, and black men really haven't. I mean, they've been, you know, just kind of getting into the idea of, yeah, I'm just going to hit this because it's easier or not as much, you know, I don't get much problems out of this woman, so I'm going to get with this other side of the coin. You know, and we've always been taught as women that, you know, we have to be looking for, you know, a black guy. You know, and it's
mm-hmm.
always a stigma attached. Your grandma told you, your mama told you, don't come home with no, you know, they've already told you that. So, you know, it's hard. We have to, since we're really the ones that's holding down the cornerstone of the household, because a lot of times our men are, you know, hitting it and basically having babies and leaving anyway, that it comes down to us and who we bring into the house. So, you know, lots of times, women don't want to take that step, and they're still holding out against hope, against, you know, wanting this knight in shining armor black man to come get them. But like you said, I mean, if they're increasing in status, if they're increasing in education, lots of times these men that they're looking for, their counterpart may not be there at that job. They may not be there at whatever, you know, church or function or however they live, the social circles that they're in. And so there tends to be a lot of, you know, women with masters and, you know, PhDs and MDs and all of that are alone, you know. And
so they're not, so what you're saying is that, so what you're saying in effect is that there, Jamtown says it's interesting, why is there generational pressure? And that's an interesting question. I'm going to ask you to comment on that in the blog room and define that question a little bit better, Jamtown. I'll put that out there. But back to you, Tracy. What I'm saying is this, okay? What you sound to be saying to my ears is that there is a reasonable lack of accessibility for black men to women of higher black women of higher education. I find that to be true because in my experiences, when I was working in jobs as a probation officer and doing law enforcement, doing white collar or so-called white collar type jobs, and switched out and went into the corporate setting, all of a sudden I had access to the corporate sisters that were there, and all of a sudden I started realizing some of the places that they hang out at, some of the places that they go to. But prior to that, my sights were limited. Now I have education as well, but if I don't familiar with those places, then at the end of the day, if I'm not familiar with those places, then at the end of the day, I'm not going to have access to those women.
Right.
You follow
what
I'm saying?
You're right.
So, I think that that's what you're saying is that, we're just not socializing in the same place. But I think, too, with that level of education and with that level of, in the right context, once these women move into that more professional setting, of course they happen to change their settings and their as they grow, so to speak, professionally. And I think that's what's causing a little bit of that rift, is that the brothers, I think, a lot of the brothers, not all, but a lot of them, are still in that same mode and not quite growing as our women are growing. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
The women are because if you think about it, when a man is a small, it's basically keep out of trouble. And with a woman, it's basically, hey, ain't no man going to take care of you. You better get an education. So we tell our children two different things, okay? So when they're growing up, these women, they continue to, rise to the levels that their parents and the expectations that they've done. And then when they look next to them, their counterpart, who was told stay out of trouble, well, of course, if you're telling a man to stay out of trouble, he's going to go to jail.
And here's a question that I think is for you too, Tracy. Jamtine in the blog room, I don't know if I'm saying that name right. Jamtine, J-Tim. But here's the question: Why is there pressure on black women to only date black men to generate more black babies or racial or culture?
We're the only ones that it affects. I mean, if you think about it, when this man decides to, leave, who's there holding the family down is the women, the hens and the, whether it be grandma or mama or, baby mama or whomever, we're the ones that raise the family. These men are kind of like, it's like the lioness pride. Okay, and then you have lions that come in.
I'm a lion, right? I'm laying down. What you doing? Okay. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, men can come and go, and they can sow their seed, but at the end of the day, the pack and the pride is what is important. It's for the preservation of the pride, for the preservation of black America. We're the ones that have to shoulder that burden. We shouldn't have to, but it basically...
Wait a minute. I'm going to disagree with you on some of that, because I look at it like this. I don't think that women have to shoulder the burden, so to speak. I think that when it comes to the family structure, all right, if we're talking about the family structure, I think that we used to fall into the traditional mode of the man is the breadwinner and the woman does the work around the house and so forth and so on. Okay, here's my point. We already have acknowledged that black women have come up dramatically, educationally, financially, the whole nine.
Mm-hmm.
They're choosing more and more often to not be in the household because they're now becoming the breadwinners.
Right.
So now, what I'm getting to is that old facade about, for the betterment of the pride, as you put it, for the structure of the family, I think that goes out of the window. I think that the family unit has shifted, and especially in the black community, has shifted so much to where more and more men are going to have to understand, accept, and realize that they're going to have to keep their ass at home and be Mr. Mom. If nothing else, if they're stuck in a lower-income job, and the woman is the breadwinner, and she's making six figures, then, brother, guess what? You're going to have to get off work, go home, get the babies out of school while she's out there doing what she needs to do. I think that we are experiencing a complete role reversal.
I agree.
You hear me now?
I agree. I think that, but that's an ego thing. Men, a lot of men can't take that. But if they think about it for the best of the family,
how come they can't?
They can't take it because, like you said, that you know they look at their white counterparts, they look at all the other minorities, and they look at where they used to be of the breadwinner and you know taking care of the wife at home. They can't. Their ego can't take the fact that she's now more educated than me and she makes more money than me and that I now need to take care of the babies. I mean, it can happen and it does happen. A good man who can see that this is for the best of my family will do that role, but it doesn't come easy. I mean, you know, they're going to hear it from their counterparts, their peers, and they're going to hear from their own family about, well, dang, you just trifling.
But wait a minute. You know what? Here's the thing, Tracy. Here's where I think the disconnect comes in with this particular subject, right? Okay? Is that I think white men understand this, what I'm about to say, cold-heartedly, a lot better than black men do. Is that, let me give an example first. When I do mediations, people always want to know why mediations work. Well, mediations work because people come to the table and they agree to come to a resolution. Whereas when you go to court and the judge says, hey, I tell you what, I'm the judge, and this is what I'm ordering, and this is what you're going to do, and that's all it is to it. Whether you won or whether you didn't win, I guarantee you both sides are going to walk out of there with a bitter taste in their mouth, whether you got most of what you wanted or whether you got all of what you wanted, okay? You're going to walk out with a bitter taste in your mouth because of what you had to do to get there. Now, on the forefront, men, black men, if they will come to the table and say, you know what, and I think a lot of them are recognizing and realizing that, you know what, your lead is no longer out there in the forefront making those six figures or making the majority of the money for the household. If your woman has that lead, if your woman is in a position to take the lead when it comes to the money being brought into that home, then you know what, hey, shut your mouth. Sit down, discuss it with your woman, and come to an agreement where she realizes, guess what, you're still the man in the house.
Right.
But guess what? She's out there doing it, whereas your role and your function has to shift and change. Now, I say white men understand that better because I'm going to tell you something. White men have no issue. I don't think they have an issue with that in their culture, in their particular arena, because they understand the logistics of role reversals. I think they understand the logistics of, hey, dude, I'm just not out here making it like that, and she's got it, you know, so I'm just going to do what I need to do to make sure that, hey, she doesn't have to do that, and she can come home and not have to worry about cooking and wiping diapers and cleaning and things along that nature. I'm just going to handle that. I mean,
but
don't you
know
agree?
What?
They just accept it better.
You know what? The reason that they get it better than we do is because they don't come from a history of enslavement. So you got to think of it that way also. I mean, there's already an emasculation going on, generational and just for 400 years of, you know, not really your balls is not your balls. You know, they own they're owned by someone else. And so now to have that in the intimacy of your home with your wife, that's too much for them to bear. Okay.
Wow.
So that's why it's harder for them to stomach that than white men. White men never had that kind of situation where they were just a stud and their children were taken away from them and their wife. You know what I mean? They never had that history of being emasculated. Okay.
Mm.
So it's always going to be hard for a black man to be able to. Now a smart black man eventually will realize, okay, you know what? I can still hold it down. And you know what? A woman is willing to work with him. I mean, if that's the situation, she's still going to – it's all about how he delivers it. And it's not. I'm not talking about sexually, but I'm just saying if he delivers his lines with authority, if he, you know, is still taking care of the household and making sure everybody is disciplined and taken care of and providing or what have you, whatever he is willing – you know, he can do, she's going to respect him. You know, a woman will, if a woman loves you, she'll do a whole lot of stuff for you that you probably don't even damn near deserve because she recognizes you're a good man, you got good potential, or you're good, you know, whatever it is that she sees in you, she will go the extra mile for you. So it's not even about the woman looking at them that way. It's more so them looking at themselves in a disapproving way.
Well, you know what, and I'm going to agree with you on that. And I know that Jam Time, she's in New Zealand. We have a listener that's in New Zealand that's tuning in to the show, family. She's in New Zealand. That's, she made a comment here in the blog room, and I want to read it out because it's very interesting. She says there is a lot of stereotypical ego things going on with the shows on TV where black men are seen as dumb and the black woman is seen as the brains. Even if the black man on the shows is smart, i.e. she gave an example of The Fresh Prince. And then she came back and said that, you know, so the model or formula that people see is that the man is dumb and the woman is the lawyer, doctor, smart mouth, waitress, or whatever. Very interesting, and I'm damn glad to hear that she's calling out of New Zealand. She's listening out of New Zealand. That's interesting. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I strongly feel like this. When it comes to interracial dating, that, you know what, regardless of, and I'm going to say it again, I don't care what your ethnic background is, what your position is on what your role should be. If a man and a woman, regardless of what their color shade is, get together and they fall in love, and they say, hey, we're going to make a go of this thing, I don't see a problem with it. I think society is, and like you said before, when you're talking about black men have been demasculated over the centuries, which is true. But I think society has grown into, and I say it all the time on my shows, a culture of, I want to say statistics, but identifying and categorizing each other. And I think that's what gets us hung up, is we have to categorize everything and everyone that we deal with. And I think that's wrong.
Well,
I think that's wrong. When you go – go ahead.
Oh,
I was going to say, when you go to Mexico, those people don't say that – or Puerto Rico, they don't say, oh, this is a black Puerto Rican or a white Puerto Rican. They say this is a Puerto Rican. When you go to France, they don't say this is a black France. This man is a black Frenchman. This is a white Frenchman. They say this is a Frenchman. When you go to any of these countries, they don't have the classification codes on races the way that they do in the United States of America, regardless of what's what. So I just think that's just, you know, hey.
I think it's institutional programming. I think that in America, the structure and the hierarchy of capitalism is built on there being some haves and some have-nots. And
that's
so
right.
In order to keep that structure in place, it has to proliferate through the church, through schools, it has to proliferate through the materials, the media. I mean, all of it is programming. A lot of the concepts and paradigms that we believe to and hold to be true and have values are is nothing but corporate programming, basically. Or, you know, if it's not corporate programming, it's some higher level than that of programming that keeps the structure in balance. Because if we stop feeding into this belief system, then there'll be chaos, and then there might be some kind of threat on a higher level. But right now, it has to work that way. The men, you know, the woman has to be the angry black woman. The man got to be the dumb slew foot, you know, or what have you. And everybody, even down in New Zealand, knows that. You know, everybody knows
she these archetypes. In New Zealand too.
Yeah, and so
look,
if she knows it there, then you know it everywhere, that's the archetype that we're supposed to follow. And a lot of people fall in line with that,
That's right. That's like, you know, and that's like, and I don't mean to break off from the topic, but that's like the show that Carla B did the other day about the Masons, you know, about the Masonic Order and the Illuminati. You know, and I listened to that show, and it was a very good show. But, you know, there's so much information out there about those organizations, and it's almost like when someone gives you something, and I'm going to say this, you know, when it comes to religion, which I think is the foundation for a lot of what we're going through here, especially with the interracial dating, you know, especially with, you know, the issues of leaving your ex behind, you know, it's a moral issue. I think that when somebody hands you something and say, okay, this is what it is, this Bible says this is exactly what it is, Don't question this, because if you do, you're going to be a heretic, or you're going to be X, Y, and Z, you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn. I think that's wrong. I think anybody that falls prey to that, like the society that we're in right now, like what you just described, Tracy, is that, you know, hey, we live in a society that's culturally based, so much so to the point where without classifications, we would have chaos. People need to question that. They need to question and say, hey, what is this all about? Why am I not just considered an American, but a black American? Why is that? Why do I have to be defined in that way? You know what I'm saying? I think we need to question it. Why?
I think we have questioned it. You know, we questioned it with the civil rights movement. And I just think right now we've got a few things on our plate and we become complacent because we got those few dreams. But, you know, the dream is huge and massive, and it's every day. And that struggle is every day. And I think ever since that time, we've gotten into this kind of Barack Obama transcendence area where, okay, we're getting the little things that we asked for, we content. And I think until we get to that point where we are no longer content again, you know, it's going to be the way it is right now.
Wow. Jamson, I see your comments in the blog room, and those are very interesting. She's putting some very interesting things out there about the Polynesian, I guess, is the police, you know, out there, about how the police are conducting themselves. That's interesting. We're going to touch on that real briefly before we get off the line, before we get off the show. But here's the other thing, family. You know, I know we talked earlier about when is the ex, when is it time to leave the ex alone? You know, because my thing is, you know, hey, once you're the ex, you're the ex. You're not supposed to, you know, hey, just let it go. Walk away because you broke up for a reason. But here's an even bigger question. How old is too old for you to date someone? In other words, what's a proper age gap for someone to be trying to date someone? You follow me?
Yeah, I think that depends on the individual, and it depends on, you know, because you can't really say, you can only say what feels comfortable for you and what feels comfortable for that person, but, you know, a lot of us can look on the outside and say, okay, you know, anything more or less than 10 years is too much, but, you know, you never know. Like you said with the interracial thing, you never know if somebody is hitting and connecting on that level, like Demi and what's his name, Ashton Kutcher. You know, maybe if he's hitting on those levels for her, sexually, mentally, physically, spiritually, and she's just found a soulmate in him, who are we to say?
But you know what? Here's the thing. Generally speaking now, if Demi Moore goes out and finds her a young pup like she did, who's 30 years younger than she is, you know, the women are going to say, you go, girl. And men are going to laugh at it and say, he's learning some stuff. Okay, that's great. But now if I go out there and I get me a woman who's 30 years my junior, all of a sudden, I'm a dirty old man.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know, I'm dirty. So, I mean, and my point is there not a double standard when it comes to the gaps in, you know, such as what we just described in dating?
Well, I'll say it like this. My sister, who's 25, she's an actress in L.A., and she was talking to a gentleman who she threw into the friend zone who was about 33. And he told her that, you know, laugh it up right now because you have the power. You're 25, you're perky, you look great, your sex sells and all of that. But there's going to be a power shift. When you get about my age at 33, I'm then going to be, you know, the more eligible one. And I'm going to be dating 25-year-olds and you are going to be, you know, wishing that I gave you the time of day, because there's a power shift there. At one point, when you're young and supple and all of that and can, you know, give babies and all of those things and please the guy, then you have that type of power, and the man's power is more money-based, and the woman's power is more sexually based. When they get older, when a woman starts losing her ability to, you know, to have children and to carry a seed, then her power is lost, and then the man who's was built in wealth and his power was built in finance becomes a little bit more the power. There's a power shift there. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, so that's what you're saying. So basically, what you're saying is women like to control stuff.
Well, what I'm saying is strike while the iron's hot. If you, if you know, knowing this as a woman, you need to know your power, and you need to know what you can offer, what you're looking for, and how to get it. And because, you know, those times, after a while, when you get to be, you know, older woman, it's going to be more difficult for you.
Wow, that was interesting right there. That was very interesting.
Because
so
the man can men don't have to worry about looking fine. They can be ugly and fat and bald and nasty. As long as they got money, they okay.
So you would date an ugly fat bald man if he got money?
Yeah, you know, a man is still going to pull a woman with a, as long as he got a Ferrari, he going to still pull a 22-year-old.
Oh, man.
Somebody going to hit it.
Hey, it was a knock at the door. Listen, how you doing? Hello. How are you? I'm good. This is the man that's fat, old, and bald. Hi, I want to introduce you to Tracy. She says if you have enough money, she's going to date you.
Oh, no, that's not what I said. I did not say that. You took my words out of context. I said there will be a woman who would date him. There would be a woman that would date him because they're looking at money. I'm not looking at money. I'm just simply saying.
Okay. I got you. All right, we'll try it now. Jam Time says that women like power, whether it's financial or whether it's physical power. Physical power, that's interesting. I think that desire for physical power kind of chimes into what we were talking about in the top of the show, which was about leaving the ex behind. And you mentioned too gracefully earlier that, hey, you know, women like to have a spare tire in the trunk, so to speak, which, you know, men do too. Now, don't get it twisted. That's not just a practice that women do either. So, brothers, I'm just going to put us all out there. Men do it too. They do it. And when I say brothers, I'm not talking about just the African-American brothers out there. I'm talking about my Caucasian brothers too. We all do the same thing. So let's just keep it real. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting indeed. What do you think about that?
I think that's a self-esteem issue more than a black, white, woman, man issue. You know,
self-esteem.
If you're a kind of person that need to have somebody around you and need to keep a man or need to keep a woman because you're scared of when the lights go out and looking yourself in the mirror and being alone, then you're going to do that. You're going to shore up something, you know, to make sure that you always got a warm body near you. So that to me is more of a character issue than anything. That's more, you know, self-esteem issue. When you grow a little bit more and you get a little wiser, you realize that, damn that, I don't need nobody. I don't really need this, you know. And you'll be a little bit more selective as to how you spend your energy.
Ain't that something? Well, stick with us, family. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a fast break on this one. We're so glad that Tracy has finally joined us. We'll be right back. We're talking about when is it time to leave the ex alone? How old is too old to date? And, I guess interracial dating, we need to tap on that a little bit more because I'm looking at it like this. At the end of the day, interracially speaking, you know, if that's what you can get it. Follow what I'm saying? All right, fans, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Sugar, sugar, sugar.
Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We're chopping it up. We had a guest come in tonight, and she has stayed with us, family. Her name is Tracy. She's in the Atlanta area, and she's given us some valuable input from a female's perspective when it comes to hooking up with the ex. The way I term it is making booty calls and things along that line. But you know what? We're talking about interracial dating as well. And, you know, how old or how big should the gap be between, folks that decide that they want to date each other? Interesting stuff. And, Tracy, we like your views on that. You know, Jantime made a comment. She says she's enjoying the show. She says that the show is almost working with her. She says it's a great show. And I'm trying to get her to tell us what it is that, you know, she said almost. And I think she mentioned that she's not going to go and hook up with the ex to get more pleasing, if I know what she means. We're not trying to do that to you. But you know what? We appreciate the comment. But at the end of the day, it's wrong, Jantine. Don't do it. Jantine, don't do it. Leave the ex alone. He's an ex for a reason. But back to this thing about interracial dating. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I keep harping on it because I see so many brothers out there screaming and hollering about how women are going this way and that way and not over here with us. But, you know, I mean, here's my personal thought on that is that, you know, when the options, there's just no options, I mean, especially for our black women out there. And I don't knock you or put you on the back burner because you decide to exercise some of those options. Because I'm going to be honest with you, something that neither one of us has said is that throughout history, white men, white women, and black men have been doing their thing. And the only ones that have been left out has been those sisters told to stay true to the race. And I disagree with that. Because black men, we date outside the race all the time. And the only problem that I have with that
is that, you know, and I'm going to say it because I like to be upfront, is that when you see white men dating outside of their race, when they go and get a sister, 9 out of 10 times, they go get a sister that's got a lot going for herself. And the brothers, on the other hand, we don't tend to reach that high up on the tree. That's the problem. So, you know, my thing is if you're gonna do the dance, you know, do the dance well and get paid for it, shit. What'd you say, Tracy?
Yeah, I think if you, you know, it's disrespectful. That's why we have such a problem with it when y'all do the interracial thing, because y'all go and get the sloppiest looking white chick, you know, and it's like, now you know daggone well that if you were trying to get with a black chick, she got to be Miss Trophy Wife. But you want to get Becky with all the folds and rolls and looking all like a can of a bait, you know, busted biscuits, you know, just exploding everywhere. That's not right. You know, get somebody that's, you know, I want you to get a fine ass Angelina Jolie or something if you're gonna be, you know, you're gonna go that way, you know. But don't disrespect us. Don't come up into our little spot, you know, with her looking all like trailer trash. That's wrong.
Oh, shit, trailer trash.
I mean, you know.
All right, Tracy, we got 5 minutes left on the show. You know, do you want to give us some final comments? And then I'm going to throw some final comments in there, and I'm going to tell the family what the next show is going to be about. So you want to give us some final comments real quickly?
Well, my final comment is this. I think with men and women, men look at dating in a completely different way than we do. We just really need to get on the same level as them. You guys, y'all think about keeping your options open. Women always thinking about, okay, when I meet him, oh, he might be the one for me. So it's a totally different shift as to how we're in our approach to dating. Men are always like, I say like this. Men date on a scale of 0 to 100, same as women, but men start at 0. Women start at 100, okay?
Ooh.
So they start at 100, and they're thinking, this man is going to be the one for me. He looks the way he looks. He smells the way he smells. Oh, I mean, he don't even got to talk. I know he's going to be right. And then they chip away at the man. At, you know, the more that they know him, they bring him down to 80, then 70, until they realize he's not the one. After that point, you already got invested. You done already gave up what you need to give up and everything, and you feeling like you done wasted your damn time. Men, on the other hand, your ass start at 0, okay? Everybody is an HOE, okay? And then you say and do things
Tracy, we're cutting it close with 2. So listen, I'm gonna chime in on that, but I appreciate you. I'm mad love to you, babe. We got 2 minutes left. But you know, I want to say this to you. You know, I want to thank you for joining in with us here tonight. I mean, it was very admirable of you to do that. I know you have a busy schedule over there, but you know, something, family. Ultimately, here's the thing: leave those damn exes alone. I don't care if they 5 states over. If you're reaching out and trying to be with somebody else, it ain't right. Leave that. It's not right. It's called living a half life. Like Tracy and I talked about tonight. Living a half life. You're reaching one way and then pulled back another way. Think about that, family, because that's real. That's reality. And my sisters out there, don't be afraid to step outside your race today. You might be surprised at what you find out there. You know what, family? Next week, we're going to be talking about hair. That's right, hair. Chris Rock came out with a show about weaves. Well, we're going to talk about weaves on this show next Tuesday. Follow me through that, family. Weaves, they're out of control with it. It is out of control. We need to talk about that. Y'all think that men care about hair that much to where we will, you know, we're in love with the weaves and so forth and so forth? Well, I got some rude awakenings for y'all out there. Let me just put it out there. And I am going to do my research. So until next time. Next Tuesday, we're going to be talking about Weaves, family. Enjoy the music. I'm out. Peace and one love. And thank you so much, Tracy, for joining us on the Don EOTM Adams Show. I'll see y'all next Tuesday. Peace out.
Thank you. another year of sin. Till I laid eyes on you, it was pain fit for pleasure. That was my claim to fame, if every little measure. Got me hooked on you.